This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's Entertainment Technology World, and we're about to talk now to Russ Chesley, who's the head of West Coast Sales and Marketing at Sania Inc. Welcome to Entertainment Technology World.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You're speaking today for Sania Inc., a Dolby Laboratories company. Tell our listeners, any who don't know and haven't heard about it, what Dolby Laboratories is, what it's done, and why it's an important company in the movie industry.
Well, Dolby Laboratories has a long and very storied history. It was founded by Ray Dolby over 35 years ago, and basically among the many other technological innovations was one of the best known is the reduction of hiss and extraneous noise in recording.
Right.
Dolby has continued to be at the forefront of audio technology, both in the consumer side and in the professional industry, particularly in the motion picture business. And, of course, in movie theaters, Dolby Digital has become synonymous with high-quality motion picture theater experiences.
Okay, now, how did you build technically and how did you build on a marketing basis from Dolby's expertise in sound to what we're going to talk about now, which is anti-piracy
sure.
technology?
Well, Sania was formed as a separate company, had nothing to do with Dolby, a little over 4 years ago. If your listeners and readers remember, there was a company called DivX, which was a division of Circuit City, which created a totally secure DVD player a number of years ago.
Right.
When Circuit City decided to close down that division, the key technical and operations people from that decided to form their own company.
Oh, okay.
And that was Sania.
Did they take some of the patents
with
them?
They did. They acquired quite a bit of the proprietary intellectual properties, and then they built on that, and of course the technology has evolved significantly from that point. But what was nice about it is that it was core technology based on a product that actually existed and worked. There were over 200,000 DivX DVD players in the marketplace, in the retail marketplace, and over 700 feature films were mastered and released in the DivX format. And not only did it work successfully, but there was never a reported hack or rip of the material that was shown on the DivX players.
I don't want to get too much inside baseball, but why did Circuit City give it up?
It had nothing to do with the technology, purely for business reasons.
It wasn't their line of business.
That's in a nutshell. That pretty much sums it up. Yes.
Okay. Now, Sania is in the business of protecting digital entertainment content against piracy.
That's right.
How big a problem is that?
It's an enormous
piracy.
Problem. Over $3 billion lost by the motion picture industry.
Every year.
Every year.
Okay.
And the nature of piracy, of course, is not just that it occurs once in a while, but it becomes a very attractive business for organized crime. It forms, because obviously of our digital world, it becomes very easy to do unless you take significant and robust measures to prevent it and to stop it.
Okay, now I've been reading in several places, most recently in a long article in Business Week about digital convergence, and that it's yet again it's finally here. But what's the importance of digital convergence as a lot of different technologies become embedded in single machines?
Right.
For piracy then? For example, Microsoft's introducing the mobile content mobile entertainment center that's mm-hmm. going to converge a lot of materials in it. How more important than ever before will anti-piracy technology be as convergence becomes more predominant?
Well, I think if we're using the term convergence to talk about essentially technologies that allow the consumer
right.
To take content from one source and output it to a number of other sources and record it and store it and reuse it
exactly.
In a number of different ways, the opportunities for piracy grow really exponentially.
Right.
And so it becomes even more important that we're able to secure the content so that it can't be used by the consumer, because
right.
of course that defeats the whole purpose.
Right.
But that it is used properly, that it's used as licensed, and that it's properly paid for.
Just for one example, as TiVo and TiVo-like digital video recorders proliferate, and more channels of delivery happen from digital satellite and cable and telephone and other wireless,
mm-hmm.
the video content that's going to be dispersible through these multiple channels, the need to protect that will become even greater than it is now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, TiVo presents a good example. There's nothing wrong with the consumer recording on TiVo and watching their film back on TiVo. If they're recording on TiVo and then outputting, you know, 5 million DVDs
right.
That they're selling not just to their friends, but in a thriving retail market around the world over the Internet, there is something wrong with that.
Because, in fact, what happens with digital technology is that more and more powerful technologies become cheaper and easier to use and more available, and essentially any person can set themselves up as a distributor of digital content, except for the issue of who owns the content.
That is true. The technology that not only enables the consumer to have access to all this material and to be able to record it and store it and reuse it, of course, provides the exact same access to the pirate.
Right.
And that's what led Dolby, I think, to become interested in this field, and what led ultimately to the acquisition of Cinia by Dolby Laboratories, which occurred at the end of last year.
Okay. You protect, thank you for pointing that out. You protect content in two ways, encryption and watermarking. One makes it harder for pirates to steal content. The other makes it easier to track them down and arrest them if they do steal it. How do those two technologies work, encryption and watermarking?
Well, they're complementary technologies, first of all. Watermarking, we place a specific individualized watermark on the material, on the content. We can place it at a number of different points in the process. It's completely invisible to the eye, and it is virtually impossible to get rid of, regardless of what a pirate might do to try to get rid of the digital watermark.
Okay, let's say a little bit more about watermarking to make it really clear to people. It's in a sense, this is an analogy to watermarking on paper.
Exactly.
What exactly is a watermark on paper, and how does it figure into anti-counterfeiting techniques, for example, for money?
Well, I think in our case, our watermarking technology, which we call running marks,
right.
That's our trademark, is based around the idea of creating a completely individual identification for a particular piece of content that is created at a particular time.
And by particular piece, you don't mean like a certain film. You mean a certain copy of the film.
Precisely.
Okay.
A specific copy of the film recorded at a specific time. And that identification is then embedded in the content.
Okay. And to talk a little bit more about how it's embedded, there's an answer print or a ready-to-go copy of the film, and now the DVDs are going to be produced from that.
That's correct.
How is the watermark mixed, so to speak, with the answer print from the film?
Without going too deeply into
right.
it, essentially we identify certain spots where the watermarks can be placed, and we create a file so that of those spaces so that they can then be placed into those spaces.
Okay, without giving away too much, is that more likely to be a big blue sky or the corner of someone's nose by their mustache?
It varies. It varies. It depends on but you're on the right track in that it depends on a lot of issues of contrast, color, how much movement there is, and all of this is automated. So
essentially then the film is analyzed for the places where the watermarks can best be put. And then they're put there. Is that about how it works?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, so that's how watermarking works, and we'll get back to how it functions in the detection process in a second. What about encryption? How does that work, and how does that function in this process?
Encryption works a little bit differently, but essentially all of the material goes through an encoding device
right.
that encrypts it, essentially scrambles all of
right.
the... all of the content, and we utilize the highest standards, National Security Agency standard, for encryption, and at this point, no one has been able to break into this, and the underlying algorithms are not available publicly.
Okay. What's the relationship between the encryption and the watermarking? Which takes place first?
Well, they can take place at different times. Typically, encryption would occur first, and then watermarking would occur later. And we can watermark at several different points in the process of content transportation, creation, production, or output.
Okay, and as we're going to see, I think these new watermarks can be added every time the DVD is shown.
That's correct.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. Let's talk really briefly about the different products that you have that use this encryption system: SVU, Cosmos IFE, and Cosmos DC. Starting with SVU, because I think that's the one that we're going to talk about in terms of the offer you made to AMPUS.
That's the most relevant to this conversation.
Right.
Yes. Essentially, we have a system whereby we encode and encrypt the video content. That content then can be replicated for mass distribution, and it can only be played on specialized DVD players, and only on those players, player or players, that have been properly authorized to play that specific material.
That specific copy of the material.
That is correct. So that's really the key. It's not just the encryption. It's
correct.
That as the material is encrypted, it is also given a specific identification, and it also has the ability to identify the machine that it's being played on and determine whether or not that machine is authorized to play it.
So if Joe Smith has a particular machine, he and he alone will be able to play on that machine DVDs that have been pre-configured to only play on that machine.
That's right. If John Smith has machine number one, only content that is authorized to be played on machine number one will play on that machine.
And if his friend or neighbor has copy number two that's designed to be used on another machine, it won't play on it.
Not unless it's been authorized to play on his.
Okay, it could be multiply allowed. Okay.
Right.
All right, now just very briefly mention what Cosmos IFE and Cosmos DC are.
Really, they're larger. The concept is a little bit larger than simply encryption or in watermarking. It's essentially a provision of security services, verifying and certificating a whole range of equipment and processes in specific areas, whether that's in-flight entertainment, which is IFE, or in digital cinema.
So this is a soup-to-nuts end-to-end solution for people who want to show cinema on airplanes or who want to get it over the network somehow and display it through projection means in their theaters.
Without getting too detailed, that's not precisely accurate. It is the provision of security services in the back end side in the creation and production of the material. The actual viewing of the in-flight material, for instance, on the planes, is not necessarily included in the Cosmos. In terms of digital cinema, yes, we'll be providing digital services. We'll be providing security services throughout the back end preparation portion for the material before it's distributed out to the to digital cinema.
Okay.
But we also have, and we are developing digital cinema solutions actually for the exhibition market as well.
So people can't bring in their video cameras and record the digitally projected images and take them home and make multiple copies.
That is correct.
In fact,
we received a $2 million grant from the National Science Foundation purely for research and development in that arena.
All right, that's good. S-Track and Running Marks, just say a little bit more, but you mentioned Running Marks already. What are those processes?
Well, Running Marks are our proprietary watermarking system.
Right.
And the S-Track is the system that essentially applies those to the content.
Okay, so we've gone into some depth on some of these technologies, and this is pretty much the most advanced system that there is to make sure people who aren't entitled to watch stuff don't watch it, isn't it?
It's It is very advanced, and the beauty of it is that all of these technologies have been proven.
Right.
They're not simply great ideas. They're not simply concepts that are being flown out by a startup. They are proven technology that's been built upon successful technologies that worked in the past and continue to work now, and they're backed now by by a company that truly understands the professional marketplace and truly understands the requirements for providing very, very high quality technology.
Okay, now you mentioned before how the DIVX system had been pretty widely deployed. Mm-hmm. How much more widely deployed are the products and technologies we've just been talking about? Are any of these out there being used yet?
Well, the S-View system, I should differentiate. The DIVX was a consumer product.
Right.
The S-View system in its current version is not designed, nor are we marketing it as a consumer product.
Right.
It's being used purely within the professional motion picture industry at this time.
Okay, and how widely is it being used within the professional motion picture industry at this time?
We are currently, and I mean that really leads us to where we're at right now.
Exactly.
We are currently engaged in developing deals with each of the major distributors, as well as smaller distributors of motion pictures, to encrypt their what are called screeners,
right.
the video copies that are sent out to the voting members of the organizations that determine various motion picture awards at the end of the year, and then most of those award ceremonies occur in the first two or three months of the following year.
Right.
Of course, the Paramount Group is the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences.
Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about mostly for the rest of this conversation.
That's right.
Having hopefully established the technical background for the whole story, you've mentioned them a few times, but tell everyone what a screener is and why they're important.
Well, a screener is a copy of a film that's, in the largest sense, it's a copy of the film that's been sent to someone to screen or to look at.
Right.
And typically, it refers to, non-retail use, a non-consumer use. It's
right.
being sent to someone for business purposes, for some transactional purpose.
Right, and mainly the purpose is to let people see films that they're going to be voting on for Academy Awards that they haven't seen already.
That's right. In the context that we're talking about, what we call award screeners
right.
are... they're copies of films that the distributor, and it can be any distributor ranging from, the very largest motion picture studios, the Warner Brothers, Paramounts, Foxes, Universal, Disney, etc., Sony, and MGM, ranging from them down to the very smallest distributors, have films that they believe merit consideration for awards in a variety of different settings, whether it's the Hollywood Foreign Press Association for the Golden Globes, or it's obviously the Academy for Oscars. And they send out these screening copies for consideration by the members of these organizations. Now, there came to be some concern that these were a potential source of piracy because many of these films, although they have been released in theaters, have not been released on for home video and have not been released on DVD or VHS previously. So it certainly became apparent to the studios that this was an area that they needed to look at. And attempts to solve this problem in the past have proved, in some cases, unsatisfactory or non-viable. In some cases, they've been satisfactory in apprehending pirated copies, and we can talk about that in a minute. But that's not wholly satisfactory. Last year, VHS copies were distributed to members of the major voting organizations, including the Academy, and those were watermarked. We participated in that, and we watermarked a good share of films that were from which screening copies were made, and our efforts did result in the identification of pirated copies and the ability for the law enforcement to track down where those came from. However, watermarking, as terrific as it is a forensic device. It doesn't prevent the piracy in the first place.
Right.
And secondly, one of the major problems was that these films were being shown in VHS, which is extremely poor quality, and compared to DVD, which has really become a standard for people in home viewing. And secondly, what makes that important, obviously, is that these are screeners that are being looked at to judge the quality of the effort of a variety of people, including the cinematographers who shoot the film, and the sound. All of the sound categories and production designers who have a real interest in how the film actually looks and sounds, and they want the highest quality to be viewed by the voting members of each of these organizations.
Which means DVD is essential, and it also means if you're going to get that quality out there while at the same time protecting against piracy, you need a secure DVD solution.
Exactly.
Which brings us to your offer to as I understand it, all 6,000 members of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, also known as AMPAS, a special DVD player so they could watch the screeners and the studios could simultaneously be more certain that no one would steal their content.
That's right. We realized after last year's work, and again, it was successful, but we realized there were some problems with it. We felt that it was time to solve this problem in a more complete fashion and in a way that really kind of ended the chicken and an egg situation that you get into. You know, who's going to take the first step to try to solve a problem like this? We were contacted by the Academy, and we entered into discussions with them, and we've made an arrangement with them. They've agreed to allow us to distribute our special DVD players to each of their voting members. And
now, is that going to go ahead regardless of what the studios?
Yes, we made that decision regardless of what decision any studio, any distributor, any group of distributors would make. We decided to do this proactively. We did it for a number of reasons. One is that obviously it's a good showcase for our technology. We've had such tremendous feedback that we felt that it was a good bet to take a proactive action. But we also believe that it was the right thing to do, that the area where piracy should be a major factor should not be in the awards arena. There are plenty of other areas that we need to be focusing on, and it should not be in this arena that all of the attention gets focused.
So you're expecting you'll do well by doing good?
We're certainly looking at it from that standpoint.
Okay, now I don't want you to give any trade secrets away here. Do you build DVD players yourself, or are you contracting out with someone else to build them? And how much are they going to cost each? And when you multiply that by 6,000 members, how much is that going to cost you, would you say?
Well, we are having the DVDs built for us to our specifications.
Right.
We are then distributing those to each of the members of the Academy, and we are also looking to distribute those to members of other awards organizations that the studios and other distributors would be interested in sending screeners to.
Members of the entertainment press?
Probably not, unless they were part of a voting organization.
There are foreign correspondents who vote for Golden Globes.
That's right, the foreign press. The Hollywood foreign press would be the first group that certainly we're looking at.
Okay.
The players, at a cost to us of over $400.
Right.
Distribution to the Academy members and then to members of other organizations. And then, of course, the cost to support and enroll these and to, provide customer support and technical support. We expect that the cost will run to several million dollars.
Okay. Now, if there are Academy members listening here, do they have to contact you? Do they have to contact the Academy? Or do the Academy give you a list of 6,000 people and you're shipping them out now?
No. The good news for them and for everyone involved is no to all of those at this precise moment. The members of the Academy will be contacted by the Academy, and a mechanism will be put in place to manage this. We respect the privacy of each Academy member, and we're certainly not going out and contacting them directly.
So you're essentially going to send them to the Academy, and they're going to send them to the members?
We're in the process of working out the exact details of how the players will be distributed, so I can really say precisely at this moment.
Okay. Now, for Academy members who get tired of watching Top Flight stuff all the time, and we're going to talk about how that works in a second, and want to watch some plain old DVD, will they be able to do that on this player?
Yes, they will. The DVD player, which we will be distributing to them not only plays our encrypted DVDs, but also plays all conventional DVDs, standard DVDs.
Okay, so we've done that. And now, the AMPUS, that you were talking about conversations you had with AMPUS, that they've, and I read a story in the Associated Press that they've endorsed, that the AMPUS has endorsed your offer. What does it mean exactly that they've endorsed it? What all are they going to be doing to show their support?
Well, I think it's really, there really are a number of things involved here. One is that they have agreed to enable us to distribute our players to their membership.
Right.
And that alone indicates a level of support and endorsement that we think sends a strong message to the Hollywood community.
Right now, Frank Pearson was quoted in the AP story saying that this seemed great to us.
They are, and that is exactly true. They have looked at the technology. They have endorsed the technology as a good solution, and we're looking for their support as an organization and from their membership as well, with the distributors, to help persuade them that this is the right way to go. Certainly it makes sense for the members of the Academy, because they're responsible for a player, but they're not responsible for keeping track of every single screener that comes in their possession, and these do not come in one big box all at once. They, come from several different distributors, and they come over quite a period of time, and it's very difficult to manage that little library of screeners, and is daunting if you are held responsible for every single screener that you have. With our technology, the screeners themselves, because they're encrypted, have no value. No one can watch it unless they have an authorized machine. So you could throw away the screener, you could lose it, it could be stolen, but it can't be played except on an authorized machine.
Can they, in fact, be copied but not played?
You could copy the DVD, but the content would be unwatchable, correct?
Exactly. Whose responsibility is it going to be, and what's the process going to be, to prepare the special encryption and watermarking aspects of the DVDs that are coming out from the different studios?
We provide the technology to do so.
You're going to each of the big studios, each of the small studios, and
we provide this technology to any distributor that's interested in utilizing it to encode and encrypt their screeners. And what we will do is sell the encryption workstation,
right,
which enables this technology. We will sell those to either directly to a distributor or to a designated vendor. Typically, this would be a facility in the post-production business,
right,
who would be involved at a critical point in the creation and production of the DVDs.
So are you almost giving away the razor and selling the razor blades here?
Well, that's really kind of the idea. We're providing the players free of charge to the members of the Academy,
right,
and to other selected awards groups. We're paying for them. They're at our own expense. We do not see this as a major profit center.
Right.
As I said, we're really doing this because, as you said, it's the right thing to do, and because by doing good, we hope to do well.
But you will be selling the you called it an encryption workstation. Does
we
it also
will,
do the watermarking?
Yes, the encryption workstation also provides the processing required for the watermarking. However, the cost of these machines basically will be. We do not have a significant profit center from there, and there aren't many of these sold. It's to a handful of post-production facilities that will be doing this work probably. So that's not a major profit center.
Right.
We hope to recoup the cost of the players through licensing fees to the distributors for the use of our technology.
The distributors will need to pay a licensing fee to do this.
Yes, that's correct.
Overall, or on a per disc basis, or. Or is it still to be worked out?
It's still being discussed. I at this point, I don't think it's appropriate for me to state which direction we'll go in. But I can say that we're in discussions with all of the major distributors and several of the smaller distributors as well. And we intend to offer, and we have offered, the same deal to all of them.
Right.
This is not we're not looking to play distributors off against each other. We're not looking to favor large distributors over small or any group of distributors against any other individual distributors. We want to provide this technology at the most cost-efficient price point that we can. We do hope to recoup the cost of the players over time, but we are taking all of the risk ourselves, and we believe that's more important at this stage from a strategic standpoint than making this a major profit center.
Right, and in fact, smaller production companies will be able to use the systems that you've sold to the distribution companies. They can essentially give them the content without all of this encryption and watermarking, and the distributors will add it?
Well, if you're talking about smaller producers who have their films distributed
right.
by the larger distributors,
right.
Yeah, the distributors would make those decisions.
Right.
If we're talking about smaller distributors who actually distribute the films themselves,
right.
Those distributors will have access to the encryption technology, and again, we will charge them even though they typically would produce far fewer numbers of
right.
screeners, we will not charge them any higher rate for
okay.
the licensing fee, and we'll endeavor to assist them to be able to deliver this technology for their screeners as well. And if they choose not to, if any distributor chooses not to, this they can feel free to send their screeners out utilizing any other technology or utilizing no technology. And again, our player will play any standard DVD.
Okay, now most, if not all, of the 6,000 members of the Academy are pretty sophisticated entertainment professionals. Will that be enough for them to manage this technology? Will they need some special expertise, or they just drop the DVD, and if it's the right one they're entitled to use it, it'll play right away, there's no big deal?
If you can turn on and operate a DVD,
right.
Which is sometimes challenging,
right.
but if you can run a standard DVD player, you can run a Cine DVD player. All of the magic is inside the box.
Okay. Say concisely how difficult this, with all of this technology in place, it will be for pirates or would-be pirates to circumvent the technology and pirate the material. And what's in store for them if they try?
Well, it's extremely difficult for them. As I said before, the discs themselves, if you acquire a disc,
right.
You cannot play it. You cannot hack it. You cannot get into it. It is as secure as anything that's coming out of the National Security Agency.
Okay.
If you were able somehow to find a way to get the material, even if the original source was the encrypted disc, and
you're standing outside the window in the large Beverly Hills mansion and videotaping the show that's being shown.
Yeah, exactly. You are then at that point, you would be videotaping along with the decrypted content, which you then could view.
Right.
You would also, however, be videotaping the forensic watermark.
Right. And what's that gonna do for the?
That will allow us to track back and find precisely which machine played that content and with the time that it was copied, and as well as some other security information.
And then there'll be a knock on the door and say, "We understand that you, with 50,000 copies of pirated material, drop it on the front door and say this has a watermark that shows it was recorded at your place here. What do you have to say about that?"
Certainly, law enforcement will have the tools provided by our technology to be able to do that.
Okay.
And again, that forensic watermarking, that kind of technology, was successfully utilized by us and by other companies during this last award season, and was successful in tracking down pirated copies.
So we already know that works.
Mm-hmm.
What's been the reaction so far from the major studios and the non-major studios?
The reaction's been terrific. We've had a tremendous feedback on a technology level. We have had, of course, a number of questions, but again, because the technology has been proven, and because we have the capacity to provide, extensive documentation and testing, we feel very confident that there really are no significant technology objections.
So what's the value proposition for the studios?
Well, the proposition for them is that they will be paying less to fully secure their screeners on DVD
right.
this year than they paid last year to only watermark VHS.
Right.
And we think all the way around that is a terrific value added.
So it's kind of Moore's Law in action for the entertainment industry. You
absolutely.
More power at less cost.
That's right. They're going to have a higher quality image, higher quality sound being presented to the voters, and obviously they want their films to be seen in the highest quality presentation as
right.
well. They will have more security. They will have not only the watermarking that was provided last season, but they will additionally have the preventative security of the encryption technology, and they will be paying less than they paid last year.
Okay, well, you can't beat that. How does this entire proposal for the deployment of special DVD players and the personalized DVD discs that you proposed relate to a more general rollout of this of these particular types of anti-piracy system and of course, for future sales from of your products?
Well, the applications for the encryption technology are many. Again, with DVD players, we're primarily looking at professional uses and uses within controlled populations. So whether it's screeners for the awards, whether it's uses in post-production or other kinds of screening uses for the studios, or whether it's used in exhibition at in the non-theatrical settings, all of those are probable and possible applications for the specialized DVD player.
So, in fact, this could be used for transferring dailies from location to Burbank or whatever, using the same technology. If film is shot in New York or Nairobi
That's right.
or South Africa, it can be encrypted this way, watermarked this way, and sent by courier over to the studios or the editing place in London or whatever.
That's right. And in fact, if it's encrypted, you don't have to send it with any special courier. You can drop it in the mail, drop it in a FedEx package, because the disc itself has no value. It can't be hacked, which, you know, provides a terrific cost savings and time savings as well. But more importantly, the underlying technology of encryption, of this encoding and decoding, of the forensic watermarking, all of this technology can be applied in a number of different digital settings and can be applied not only to a variety of media but also in a variety of formats, and we're developing and moving along a roadmap to do so.
For example, what kind of formats?
Well, I mean, where we would be looking at non-DVD type digital formats, and where we would be looking at an output not necessarily to a DVD, but perhaps for video on demand, or as I've said, for digital cinema.
Yes, well, that was exactly my next question
right.
about video on demand, because if you put the encryption, you use the same encryption, you use the watermarking, you can then you don't need the medium of the DVD anymore. You can put it on a server somewhere, and you can protect content the same way with your same technology online as well as in physical media, right?
Absolutely correct.
So that's an even bigger market, especially if the media include cell phones, personal entertainment centers, and things that no one's even thought of yet.
There are myriad of opportunities for us to provide this technology, as I said, in all of these different kinds of settings. There are, you know, I'm limited simply by the cost benefit analysis that you apply to any business.
Okay. You have any competitors in this field, or are you just out there doing this yourself and you've got the market?
No, there are companies that provide a variety of security services and security products. Every company provides a little something different, however.
What's your main competitive advantage?
Our main competitive advantages are that we do not simply offer one security solution. We're not just a watermarking company. We're not just an encryption company. What we look to do is to provide total security solutions. So whether it's utilizing all of our own technology or whether it's integrating our technology with other security measures, we feel very confident that we can provide overall solutions that are more helpful to the digital industry, and primarily to the motion picture industry at this time. That is where our primary focus is right now. as well as being a part of the Dolby Laboratories family, we're able to build upon that company's long-time commitment to the professional side of the industry and the motion picture business.
So this isn't immediately going to find its way into everyone's living room, but especially through the online methods that we just discussed, it's likely that the technologies that are being used here will find wider usage in the future.
Just as we all have seen the Dolby brand, ultimately on a number of different consumer applications, ranging from going to the movie theater to home consumer electronics to automobile electronics. We would love it if one day the Cinia brand is seen as the primary security brand for all sorts of digital security solutions. And that's where we're aiming for the long run, and we are in it for the long run. This is not a short-term play. Content security and anti-piracy are not issues that are solved once and for all with one wave of a magic wand. It's an ongoing process, and it requires real commitment, and it's something that we have endeavored to make as a company, and again, being part of the Dolby Laboratories family, we feel makes a lot of sense, because they've demonstrated the same kind of commitment to not only the motion picture industry, but to the digital industry as well over the last few years.
And in fact, entertainingly enough, the first real trial of this technology will be in a very high profile and very interesting milieu, namely to help people vote to select the Academy Awards, which are viewed by a billion people when they finally get here next spring.
Absolutely. We couldn't ask for a better showcase. We couldn't ask for a better opportunity to show the world what we can do.
Okay, one last question. I guess your company is owned by Dolby Laboratories. Is Dolby Laboratories a public company?
Dolby Laboratories is a privately held corporation.
So the only way people can benefit is by getting better products that they'll get to see, but they can't buy the stock.
No.
Anything else to be said, or has we pretty much covered it?
I think that we have covered everything. Again, we believe that whether it's our product or other products, the issues of piracy are important. We believe that the motion picture industry and the entertainment industry in general takes these issues seriously, and we are looking to be a valued partner and a valued vendor in providing security solutions over the long term.
Okay, when Apple Computer was developing the Macintosh, they ran a pirate flag up their flagpole in Cupertino just to show how outside the box they were, but you've essentially run up a pirate flag with a international prohibition symbol across it over your building, and I want to thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks very much.